The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The new measure of the draft Dublin City Transport Plan has been announced, and it involves bus gates coming to effect on Dublin's quays. It's set to be introduced in early August. This is when they normally introduce these kind of things, when, you know, traffic's at a low and schools are not busy and so on because they're not open. So therefore, traffic's at its lowest level. And if they're going to experiment, that's when they do it. Well, joining me now to talk about this is Brian Caulfield, Professor in Transportation in Trinity College in Dublin. Brian, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, we've talked about this before and whether or not it was wise to do it, but they've decided to go ahead in August, and it doesn't seem like it's a trial. It looks like it's the real thing. What exactly are they doing?
So what they're going to do on the quays is put in what they call a bus gate. So basically in those stretches of the quays around Bachelor's Walk and Aston Quay, they're going to basically ban car traffic, private car traffic, from using those stretches of road and have them exclusively for bus transport. The reason behind it is because they know that that's the part of the city that is a bit of a pinch point when it comes to expediting buses through the city and to improve the travel time for them.
Okay, so if you're driving, and I think most people are fairly familiar with the capital, so let's imagine you're coming from either commuter land or as a visitor to the city, and you're coming along maybe from Chapel Lizard down along Parkgate Street, down along the North Quays, past Arran Quay, past the Four Courts. Where are you stopped?
I haven't seen the exact drawings as to where they're going to be stopped, but it will be for the extent of Bachelor's Walk and Aston Quay. So a fair stretch of the quays are going to be precluded. And in those areas, that's where diversions will be put in place, where motorists in a private vehicle will have to travel further in kind of more circuitous routes around the city to get from, I suppose, to get past these bus gates.
Okay, so there's a bus gate. Presumably, if it's going to knock out Bachelor's Walk, I'm just wondering, do you get as far as the Morrison Hotel? Do you have to turn left there? And on the other side, presumably you can't enter Aston's Quay at all. So here's the dilemma. And we've been doing this in the office this morning, imagining trips that are quite likely to be taken both by business people and by the tourist, the visitor to the city. So I want to get from, say, Black Rock in County Dublin to the Four Courts. I cannot turn down Westland Row and turn along Pierce Street and get to the quays that way. That's no longer allowed. Where do I go?
Well, the first thing I would say, you'll definitely be able to get a bus or a train from Black Rock.
No. I am someone who must use my white van because I've got equipment in the back, and I am called to the Four Courts where there's a plumbing problem, and I'm based in Black Rock. I need to get my van there. So I cannot get down Westland Row in order to turn left onto Pierce Street. So Townsend Street is one way out of town. So how is Johnny Plummer to get to the Four Courts?
So that's not, you're right, it's not a trivial issue, because the city is, you know, the city operates by people in white vans, you know, the lights are kept on, the toilets are kept going, all those types of things happen, and they need to have better routes throughout the city. The idea, I suppose, would be, and this isn't my plan, but the idea would be that because traffic would be cleared up of, you know, the amount of people that would be driving in a single occupancy car to get to another, the other side of the city, that traffic would be freer, about 60% less traffic, that the kind of more circuitous routes would be faster and they would be able to get through that.
But okay, so people are going to say, this is hell, I'm not going into Dublin City, I will take public transport instead. Isn't that basically what the message is? We're going to make it so unpleasant and so difficult and so tortuous for you to get from A to B in the ways that you used to do, that you're going to leave the car at home and you're either going to get on one of the electric scooters if you're able-bodied and so on, or you're going to attempt to take public transport, which, as we know, is already at capacity at rush hour.
Correct. Exactly. Yeah, pretty much. And that's what the new city council chief said in his interview in the Times of the weekend, was that if I have to make motorists' lives hell to improve climate and to improve traffic and congestion for everybody, so public transport users too, that's what he's going to do.
But he admits, does he admit that the public transport access is at capacity? I mean, the number of buses we have, and don't forget, you know, you can have, say, a Dart that might take 1,000 people. And in order to have the equivalent in buses, you're going to need, what, 15 buses for every dart. Do you know?
Exactly.
And if you have a dart every 5 minutes, it means 15 buses every 5 minutes is the equivalent. So we don't have that number of buses. We know there are question marks over electric buses, by the way, because it doesn't seem like they can make it through the day without a recharge, and there isn't the capacity to recharge in some of the areas where these buses are stored. Also, they have to be parked 30 metres apart, I think, for safety, or 30 feet apart for safety. Anyway, all of that we will be discussing on the programme. But the incoming CEO of Dublin City Council, he knows that we don't have the capacity for people on public transport, but he's going to make life such a hell for people that they leave the car at home. So what are we to do?
He hasn't inherited a city that has all the public transport and all the physical constraints that you mentioned. What is he to do? I suppose the purpose behind the plan is to facilitate bus connects, that buses are able to operate quicker, and we're taking private cars out of the city. But the big things that we've talked about a number of times before, Pat, are, you know, DART extensions, metro extensions. They're, you know, the middle of the next decade away, and they're the ones that are going to have the real capacity changes.
Yeah. So what is to happen in the meantime? Are people just to work remotely? Is that his solution?
In the meantime, I suppose, looking at the modelling, and that's what I do here in Trinity, and look at the numbers, that 60% of the traffic that's going through that part of the city doesn't have a destination. So in some cases, it makes sense to divert that away from the areas in which people that are travelling on buses and bicycles and scooters and all those other kind of things are, to divert them away from that. And It has the traffic impact, but it also has a knock-on noise impact. It also has a knock-on air quality impact.
Okay, so therefore, by that logic, you talked about sustainability, electric vehicles should be welcome. But they're not.
But, you know, no, every vehicle causes congestion, no matter if it's, you know, Fred Flintstone's car, you know, that causes, takes up the same amount of space as, you know, a big diesel guzzler or an electric car.
Okay, now Brian, you know the city as well, because you work in Trinity College, you're in the heart of it. I've got four kids, and I've come by car from the countryside, because there is maybe no train available to me, and I've got four kids and a buggy or two. I'm going to Dublin Zoo. So I'm in Dublin Zoo, and I have a great morning in Dublin Zoo. There is some parking around Dublin Zoo, and I want to bring the kids to the National Gallery in the afternoon. How do I get there?
I would take one of the buses from the zoo, from the Phoenix Park.
With your buggies and your pucks and your packed lunches and your blah, 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 blah. So that's what you do. Okay. The Abbey Theatre, I'm visiting there as a visiting motorist from Northern Ireland. I've driven down. I've managed to find parking in North Inner City. And I decide I want to see Kilmainham Jail. And I want to drive up there. And then maybe I'll hit the M50 and go home. How do we get there from the Abbey Theatre to Kilmainham Jail?
Again, I would say the Lewis is probably the best way to do it. But like,
so I take the Lewis up there, and then I go back to pick up my car in the North Inner City. That's your proposal, or the new CEO's proposal, or whoever are the people in charge of transportation in Dublin City. So basically, you want to make the city an unwelcoming place, a place we wouldn't be bothered going to because everything is too much hassle.
Just again, just to say, I'm a professor in Trinity, not a person that's in charge of transport in the city. And I suppose I look at the policy that I see happening all around the world, and this is the type of trend that's happening all around the world. The idea is to make the city more accessible by alternatives to the car, Pat, as opposed to,
I totally agree.
The car in,
and I mean, you'll quote maybe Copenhagen, they have a metro. You'll quote Amsterdam, they have a metro. They have on-street trams. You'll quote London, they have a metro. You'll quote Paris, they have a metro. You'll quote Geneva, they have fast transport, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What do we not have?
We don't have a metro. We don't have a proper Lewis network. We don't have enough space dedicated to cyclists. We don't have fast enough buses. We don't have, and that list is very long because of, as we both know, decades of underinvestment in public transport in the city. What about that stopped huge big projects going ahead? And you know, we regret that. And listening to the outgoing Taoiseach last night on the 6-1, where he was talking about investments that we didn't do in time, I almost thought he was going to say metro. And that would have been one of the big investments we didn't do in time. And as we both know, that would have cost about 2 billion euro back when the outgoing Taoiseach was in the Department of Transport.
And remember that there was a Spanish company that volunteered to install a metro for us during the time when we were in trouble, when we were in recession. Obviously, the Spanish company wanted work because, you know, there was a Europe-wide recession. We could have given them the work, probably got money from the European Investment Bank, but we did not do it then. And even now, as we struggle to do it, it turns out the planning of it was not maybe as we would have liked it to be, because there are all these objections popping up that should and could have been anticipated.
Exactly, especially considering we had planning permission for that piece of infrastructure over a decade ago. And that's the very frustrating thing. And you're right. Most other countries around the world, they look for big shovel-ready projects to get their, you know, to get people into employment, to get something done during that recession, and we chose the other path. And I suppose that's a, that would be a regret, I think, of the city, that, you know, we could have done the metro then, and instead we did the Lewis Cross City. And Lewis Cross City, by its very nature, kind of, you know, really makes metro difficult to construct. And that's why we have all these extra objections, because the route has changed.
I'm in Ringsend. I have a sick child. I need to go to the new Children's Hospital in James Street. I've got a problem.
Possibly. But first of all, yes, because there's a sick child. But how to get there? I suppose I'm not a route planner. The routes that
it's four in the morning. I'm in trouble. There's no Lewis. I'm in trouble. I need to get there now. Do I risk breaking the bus gate maybe at Aston's Quay because I've got a sick child in the back of the car? I bet I tell you, I will be breaking the bus gate if I'm coming from Ringsend and I need to get to the Children's Hospital at four in the morning. I certainly will break the bus gate.
In that case, most parents would. And it would be very harsh to penalise that. But like as you said in the intro there, that this plan is a test. And I don't think it is.
You know, it's implementation, not test. Didn't they ask for consultation? And all the greenies in the building participated. The rest of us probably not really aware of what was contemplated, these bus gates, and didn't participate. And it's our own fault that we didn't.
There's nothing that's going in that couldn't be taken out, I don't think. And the other key thing that has to happen is this does need to be evaluated. There are sensors all over this city. We need to make sure that if we're making traffic better in one part of the city, we're not making it worse in another, that there is, we're not just moving the problem. Mm-hmm. And that's the key thing for me. You know, I think the plan is great, but however, I want to see hard details and hard facts to show that what we're doing is the right thing to do. And, you know, we do have, you know, there is a local election coming up, and it will be up to the new local authority in Dublin City. If they don't like the plan, they can reverse the plan. Mm. You know, they're the ones that are in charge of it. And ideally, what I would love, and you mentioned all of those cities there earlier that all have a metro. The other thing that our city doesn't have that they all have is a directly elected mayor. And I think that's something that, you know, a mayor with a mandate as opposed to somebody that's appointed would be much better, I think, in this situation, that they would win hearts and minds, and they would convince people by their argument.
And now it seems that disabled people have been lobbying Dublin City Council about this. You know, what are we to do? And they've been told tough, you know, hard cases make bad law, that kind of thing. If you're disabled, sorry, you still have to obey the rules. You have to hike yourself all around the place. Secondly, Diageo, are they to bring back the barges on the Liffey to get the beer down to the port? Is that the notion of the Dublin City Council? Because you've got all these big trucks carrying the kegs, or they're not kegs, they're tankers, that deliver the stuff down to the port. And they've been told you can't take the most direct route, which is down the quays. You've got to bring yourself through all sorts of little inner city, fairly narrow streets with your big trucks. You've got to hike yourself around that way, rather than maybe sharing that bus space, which might have been a kind of a reasonable concession to make. Buses are big, tankers are big, you know, they're going directly. But no, they have been told they've got to make their way tortuously all around the city to get from A to B. What say you?
So what I would say on the first point about those with disability, I have massive concerns about that. I've let them be known. I do think that the City Council needs to be much more engaged with those communities to make that type of transport much more easy, and that nothing changes and there isn't a preclusion of people from the city centre because of that. The City Council needs to do better on that. On the Diageo thing, I think, first of all, it's an amazing kind of fourth year project for my students to do, to see how they would, what they would come up with. And speaking to students, a lot of them were kind of saying, why don't we just put pipes into the Liffey and pipe the Guinness down to the...
Who'll pay for that? Now, will the Dublin City Council pay for that?
I have no idea who would pay for it, but it might be a solution to get the traffic out. But those types of tankers, yes, there is a problem. I would be concerned as well about the turning arcs of the roads that they might likely to be put on, the damage that's going to be caused to those roads, the noise, the safety. I think safety will be a big thing, because you're going into slower areas that have more pedestrians and cyclists. That would be a big concern
now,
to me.
Now,
that needed to be done better.
One of the areas that the council has complete control over is the East Link. That's now in their domain. They're making a fortune on it every year. It doesn't require very much in the way of maintenance compared to the money they pull in. No sign of a second parallel bridge that would make things a lot easier for the motorists trying to cross the Liffey, particularly given what they're doing to them at Aston's Quay and Bachelor's Walk. So, I mean, should that be done? Should there be a second bridge there to ease the traffic, to make sure that traffic going forward and back would move easier, given they have no alternatives now but the East Link for many people? And should the East Link now be free?
Well, on the East Link being free, you know, there is a very, very good argument for that. You know, the taxpayers paid. If it's going to be, if it's been put in there for traffic management purposes, then we should be explicit about it. A second bridge sounds like a good idea, but I suppose the heart of this whole project and plan is to reduce the number of cars in the city by 60%. And that if that sees fruition, then we may not need a second bridge like that. But the big thing is, and you've rightly said it, Pat, is that, you know, we don't have the capacity in the public transport to deliver everything that we need to deliver. I'm 100% arguing for analysis of what happens in August and later on, not to have a knee-jerk reaction and kick it all out just because it's not working in some areas. Give it 6 months and see if it works. That's what they do in many other cities. They trial these things.
I know, you've seen the cycle lanes that have gone in places, and they're ridiculous, some of them. They have very little business doing for them, and they remain. They were, you know, trial projects during the pandemic, but they stay, even though they may not make a lot of sense, you know, in terms of the cost-benefit analysis. Some of the texts coming in, as I'm sure you're going to be discussing the traffic changes in Dublin City, can you ask whoever's on, what will be the effects outside of the city centre? I'm in Drumcondra, and the ongoing works in Fairview and the upcoming works for bus connects on Movie Road and Drumcondra Road are already driving huge traffic down my street. I can't get out most of the time in the evenings or mornings. Has any work actually been done to model what the effects are in surrounding areas, or is it all focused on what's going on in the city centre? Councillors don't seem to care and can't even be bothered to respond to emails when asked. So what about that?
That's a very legitimate concern, and it's not only that part of the city, it's all other parts of the city, and that's there's no point in doing this if we're just moving, you know, traffic around the city and causing worse problems elsewhere. So that does need to be modelled. Yeah. There needs to be a very clear information campaign from the City Council on this to say how it's working, if it's working, and then what are the impacts in other parts of the city. It will take a couple of months to bed in and for people, you know, to change their travel patterns, but that has to be done. It has to be part of it. And I think it will be a massive local election issue if this type of information isn't provided to people.
What are disabled people who live in the Bachelor's Walk apartments to do, asks another. Could you tell me how we'll get to Arnott's Car Park or the Rotunda now that there won't be a right turn to O'Connell Street from the Quays? The absence of protest by Dubliners with these new traffic restrictions astounds me. This is your city. These are your councillors. Do you care? You need to be heard. Dublin City Council had a series of public consultation online meetings about their transportation plan. Not so much consultation as this is what we're doing. No Q&A at the end of the meeting. Commuters going to and from work in central Dublin have no real say in any of this plan. Why do I pay road tax? A number of questions about the Children's Hospital. This one, to get from Granby Place currently and to avoid spending half an hour in Church Street, I have to go via Parnell Square, Denmark Street, Hill Street, Parnell Street, Carl Brewer Street, O'Connell Street, Delir Street, College Green, Westmoreland Street, O'Connell Street, Abbey Street, Liffey Street, Strand Street, Capel Street, Parliament Street and Dame Street. It's crazy as it is, says Kevin in Old Town. I think on that note, Brian, we should say thank you very much for parsing this with us. Brian Caulfield, Professor of Transportation at Trinity College.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.